And so I want to read to you what happened to the people of Israel. We've been studying the book of Joshua. And in Joshua, God's people have been in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're in the promised land. And they're moving forward. And the funny thing about that is I feel like in the life of our church, we have gone through a lot of transition these last couple of years. And now God is saying, the time has come. The time has come. Move forward in what I've called you to. And it's not just going to happen because you hear a good message and feel good about it and go and do your own thing. It's going to happen because God is going to use you to mark the moments where he has touched you, and he's going to use you to touch the lives of others. And that's how the kingdom of God is spread. And let me just tell you this. Right now, we don't have to look far to see the hurt and the crime and the horror, right? Whether it's Dallas or Orlando or San Bernardino, it's every week now, and you see so much hate and so much anger, and you think, what's going to change that? And it's not going to be nice little programs. It's going to be God changing the hearts of people and filling them with his love. And what if God used you to change someone's heart from hate to love? See, that's what this is about. And so I just want to read to you from Joshua chapter 4. And keep in mind that the people now are just getting ready to go in the promised land. And by the way, this is 1 million people. This isn't like a small bunch. And it says this, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on the shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. Now the priest who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, keep in mind, this is 1 million people. This isn't just a few minutes, right? Okay. As soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priest came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. And that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. And then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, no sooner had they set their feet in the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. That's an amazing story. It's an amazing story because, you see the best markers in our lives are God markers, aren't they? And see, the question I have for you today are, what are your markers? Where have you seen God at work? Where has God touched you? Where has he spoken to you? And let me tell you, we all have moments that we remember, right? Some are hard moments, the passing of someone we loved. Some are moments where we got a new job or had a victory or we got married or had kids. Or maybe there's some that may not seem quite as big, but you know, when we saw a prayer answered, we saw someone healed, we saw God at work. And now what the question is what are you going to do with those moments? If you were to choose your marker moment right now, what would you want remembered from the past? And why would you choose that? And what would you want to remind you for the future? You see, for the people of Israel, they had their mark of Roman. They had the time where they're in the Jordan, and they each took up rocks. They took up rocks from the river, right? I mean, just simple rock, just something that was there, right? And they pick it up, and they said, this is going to be a sign. This is going to be a sign. It's a token. It's an indication. You see, it's any object that conveys a meaning, idea, command, decision, etc. And signs show us why God did it. They remind us of the direction we should go. And so that's why, you know, when we had these kingdom assignments, we wanted to make sure that we had people share their testimonies, because we wanted to mark the moment. Men's ministry, you know, Heinz spent time putting together these gift bags, which, you know, I don't know what he put in the swag bags. You know, I'm sure it's hundreds of thousands of dollars of gifts. I don't think it really matters, right? Because I'm sure there wasn't hundreds of thousands of dollars of gifts. I might have just been a rock. I got a rock. But the thing is that it was a marker moment, right? Adventure camp. We got adventure camp coming up all this week, right? And we've got kids, and each day the kids do a craft. And my favorite crafts are when the kids write a Bible verse down with the craft. And sometimes it's a picture frame of their small group that day. Sometimes it's something else that was significant in the moment. But they mark the moment, and those kids take those things home. And I've had kids who have shared those years later. I've had adults who have shown me what they made when they were kids. At a vacation Bible school, or adventure camp, as we call it, because who goes to school in the summer, right? And I just know that we've got volunteers who spend a lot of time doing that, and they don't even realize the marker moment they are creating in the lives of children that will have an impact on them for the kingdom for the rest of their lives. So I wonder, what's your marker moment? What's the sign that God wants to use through you? Because, you know, in many ways, these stones were a memorial, because it was where God spoke to them personally, and they remembered. They remembered, and they remembered for the future. They remembered, and it says, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? What do these stones mean? You know, see, that's the thing with marker moments, right? They accomplish a lot of things, but they help us learn. They help us learn. We learn from those moments. I love the way Romans says it. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. We might have hope. You see, we learn from it. We learn from our experiences, right? We learn from the opportunities we have. You know, our job as a church is to kind of provide those opportunities, whether it's an adventure camp or a kingdom assignment or a men's ministry or something else. But the thing is that you have to claim it. You have to claim it. And sometimes we mark a moment so we can lay it down. Does that make sense? We mark a moment so we can lay it down, so we can let it go. Isaiah says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Well, we remember the past, but we don't let it control our future. You see, I think the problem is we mark the wrong things. I think we tend to take the past things, and instead of saying, okay, I remember this, and I place it down, and now I move forward, I think we hold on to it. I think we hold on to the past failures and past successes. We hold on to past failures because we let it dictate that we can never try something again because we failed at it once. We hold on to past successes, so we applaud the way things used to be, and so we never venture everything new. Let me tell you, in the life of Clayton Community Church, we have had great successes, and we have had great failures, and we are not defined by either, because God wants to do something new here, and God wants to do something new in your life. And I don't care, as much as I cherish those things of the past, I am not going to let those define this church, because now God is doing something new, and God is doing something new through you. And we cherish the people who have helped us in the past. We cherish the memories of the things that God has done. We've learned from our mistakes, I hope, and we're still learning, and we're going to make new mistakes, by the way, folks. I got to tell you. But here's the thing. God has brought you to this place, and you are part of this church's future, and you are part of the kingdom of God. And what's God going to want to do through you? I love the passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Do you know that's why we call our high school group 517? I don't know. We may be changing that name soon, right? I don't know. But Rachel's writing down, don't say that next hour, okay? But here's the thing. The old has passed. The new has come. And I just know that God is raising up new people to make a difference. To make a difference. And so as I looked through my outline here, all these testimonies kind of changed the whole nature of what I was going to say to you today. But I do know this, is that as I look at the people of Israel, I look at the people who God called that were set aside to stand in that place in the Jordan River. It says in Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down in the place where you stay tonight. So yeah, I want you to picture that scene, right? The priests come from with the Ark of the Covenant, right? They're carrying God's presence. That's what that symbolized. It was I say it like this because it was a big box, and they had poles so you wouldn't actually touch it. And they had poles on either side, and men would carry it. And these priests went, and they went in the center of the river, right? And there's a million people lined up, and these priests stand up. And this is floodwaters, right? This is huge. You saw pictures of it. Well, there's a picture of it, okay? That's at calm levels, and that's pretty big, right? And now it's at flood level, which was much bigger, right? And so they don't hesitate. It's dangerous. It's treacherous, right? They stand in that water. And the moment they stand in it, everything dries up in the path. I mean, there's still water on either side. But there's now a dry path. And then Joshua says this, pick 12 people. Pick 12 people. Who are you going to pick? I don't know how they did it, right? But all of a sudden, 12 people were just picked. You, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Come on. Come on to the water. He's probably going, I'm not coming to the water until you come. I don't know what they said, but they did. They went forward. And see, here's the thing. I think those people were chosen because everyone counts. It wasn't just the priests that mattered. It was the people that were chosen that got to come in the center. And here's the thing. God is wanting to choose you. Everyone counts because everyone's a minister. And so these people go in. And they go, and Joshua says, here's what I want you. I want you to take a stone. Well, okay. And they take a stone. And this is going to remind us how God helped us cross over to a new place. This stone is a reminder. And so that's what they did. The people went, they gathered the stones, and then later on they stacked them up, and they said, this is a memorial to remind us. And here's the great part about this story, is that the priest stayed until everyone had crossed over. I love that part of the story. Because the priest could have said, oh, our job's done. They could have, gotten out. They stayed. How long would you take for a million people to cross something? That's a long time. And there were no potty breaks. I mean, I don't know why that comes to my mind, but it does. So they stay. They stay until everyone crosses over. By the way, that's what leaders do. They make sure everyone crosses over. And so they stay. And they stay. And then the people all come across. And imagine the people. I mean, their eyes are probably like this, as they're just watching. And I say, yeah, we're going to remember this moment. We're not going to forget it. I said, you won't forget it, but we want your children to remember, because see, you've seen God at work, but your children haven't seen it. It's like with men's ministry, right? Men's ministry, these guys who've been doing this for so long, they've seen God at work, but now they're saying, who's going to be the next person? And they've got to mark that moment too, so that the next generation can come and say, okay, we want to do something entirely new. And it may look entirely different, but you know what? God's going to be a part of that. And I can tell you that there are so many opportunities that we have in this church, not just because we want to do more programs, but because we believe that God's going to use people to stand up and make a difference. And so that's why tomorrow we've got 80 volunteers who are helping with our Kids Adventure Camp. That's why we've got a men's ministry that God is using and is thriving. I know we've got a Labor Day Derby right now, and Steve Stafford came to me the other day, and he said, Sean, we don't have anyone to be the point person for the Derby. Who's that going to be? And I said, Steve, I have no idea. But as I prayed about it yesterday, I felt like God was going to raise somebody up. And maybe you here today. And I look at all the ways that God does that, all the ways that God raises people to accomplish his kingdom purposes. And because it's because someone stood in the river and someone waited for everyone to cross over and someone took the stones and said, this is what we want to remember. We want to remember where God was at work. We want to remember what God is going to do. We want to remember. We want to remember. So that everyone can go forward, both feet in. And do you notice when they came out, they had the first 40,000 people were armed for battle. Doesn't that amaze you? That the first 40 people who crossed the river were armed for battle. Why is that? Because God is never going to do anything with big without a fight. Because Satan's going to want to stop it. And so these people were ready to move over. Because you see, when we cross over, the river of God is, well, the river of God must fill in. You see, as we go forward, when we cross the river of God, we must fill in the past. Because we can never go back. And so, here's the thing. I think what God wants us to learn of himself through this was found in verse 24 of Joshua 4. He said, God did this that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Two things I want you to see in that. One, I want you to see that the Lord your God is powerful. And sometimes we think God is weak. But also, it says that you might fear the Lord. A lot of us don't even understand that phrase. When the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, it doesn't mean just being afraid of God. I mean, obviously, God's awesome, and there's a little bit of this incredible, oh my gosh. But it's a holy awe. To fear the Lord is not slavish dread, but it continues a recognition of God's glory and majesty along with trust. So here's the thing I want to ask you today is what's going to be your marker moment? I mean, we've heard a lot of things shared today. And so what I did is the other day I went down to Osh, and I went to the guy in the garden department, thank you, the garden. I was going to say, you know, the outdoorsy people. And I said, hey, I'm looking, I need to find some rocks that look like river rocks. And he says, oh, well, I've got a bag of river rocks. Would that do? Oh, okay. So I bought two bags of river rocks. And let me tell you, I am not taking one home, okay? And so what I did is outside the door, there are like 200 river rocks. And I want every person here to take one. And at the Welcome Center, I've got a marker. I've got Sharpies, right? And what I like you to do is I like you to think of someone. I like you to think of someone, and I want you to write down everything they've done wrong, and then I want you to throw it at them. No! That's what we do? That's what we do, right? I mean, isn't that what a lot of us do? We may not do it physically, but verbally we do. We keep our list, we write it down, and we get ready to throw that rock whenever we get a chance. No, that's not what we're going to do here today. See, I want you to write down the name of a person. Maybe you write down just their name. Maybe you write down something you cherish about them. I mean, it's not a real big rock, so you can't write a lot, right? But you mark the moment. You mark the moment where you saw God at work and how God used that person. And you take that rock, and I want you to put it someplace special this week. And I want you to put it in that someplace special so that it reminds you to pray for that person. And it reminds you to keep loving them. Okay? Can you all do that? This looks like a sharp crowd. No. What did your pastor ask you to do? It's not memorize scripture. It's just pick up a rock. Okay? Because I think right now what you've been hearing with these testimonies is God is doing something in our church that is pretty amazing right now. Because people are moving out and being the people of God. And whether it's a snack shack or Safeway, whether it's men's ministry, a Labor Day car show, a kids' adventure camp, whether it's praying for someone, whether it's stepping out in a new adventure, whatever that is, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. And what I don't want you to do, what I don't want you to do is write down all the things that you've done wrong or someone else has done wrong and start stacking those rocks up. Those are to be discarded. These are rocks to remind you to never forget where God wants to take you. Okay? Everybody clear on that? Let me pray for you. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray right now. I pray that you would use this day and this moment and these rocks as a reminder of where you want to take us. Lord, the people of Israel used those stones as a memorial to remember where they came from. But they also put them on the other side to show them where they were going. And I just pray right now that you would just use us and remind us of where you want to take us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.